Good morning. Try that one more time. Good morning. Let's pray. Dear God, just help each one of us to hear your words today, to believe on those words today, to be obedient to your words today, that we might dwell in your righteousness. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What a song. And you old geezers out there like me, before Nerf guns, the Daisy Red Rider, the BB pistol was no match for it. I can attest to that. Some of you wear the marks and they don't come out. And they have little attachments. They're not piercings. I can remember being under a rainy bridge. I think I jerked my t-shirt off with my pistol in one hand, and the guy had the Red Rider on the other. I surrendered. I was no match. We're no match for God's love. We want to argue and fight with Him. We want to be in battle with Him. Why don't we just throw up the white flag and surrender? It's a whole lot easier. Because He's going to continue to pelt us and come at us because He loves us that much. And so many would think, how is He a loving Father? Why doesn't He just give up? That's not love at all. If you just give up, that's not love. When you fight for someone you love, when you fight for their soul, that's love. Sugar-coated candy might seem nice for a moment. I OD'd on sweets yesterday. Finally, my daughter said, we need to go to a restaurant and have some real food. It's like we went to Freddy's in Atlanta. I mean, we had all kinds of deals, but it was sugar on sugar. Another announcement I think we might have missed. I think there is a mission meeting right between this service and next service. Is that correct? If not, come anyways and you might learn something. So for this morning's message, if you have your... I'm going old school. I looked all over for a place to plug this in. I think it's right here. If you got one of these, try it. And it does work better. But if you'd look at the very beginning, before Genesis, I'm wondering in your book, and it might be on those gizmos. So if you go to your gizmo and you go to Genesis, what's just before it? I don't know. But see if there's a warning on there. What's to follow may be offensive. I hear that on the news more and more. And then they go and show it to you. Lester, if it's offensive to you, don't show it to me. But then their ratings would go down. There is no warning at the beginning. I hope you are offended, as am I, by what's to follow. I hope you're offended so much that you and I both might change. God did not put a warning before His words that you might be offended. He hopes that we will be. So there's a list coming up. A lot of it's my list. Some of them may be yours. And if we missed you, there's more to come. And for some reason, if you're offended by just one, it might be the one that you struggle with. I can't believe they put those words up there. Did you find your one? Did I look at mine? Did I look at my many? The ones I struggle with? 1 Corinthians 6:11 is following most of those words. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Many of us can identify with those words. Many of us are still struggling with some of those words. Some might say, "Preacher, is this going to be on the test?" I shared with Cade today, I wasn't the best student when I was in school on any of the years, any of them. I said to Cade, all my teachers seemed like they were Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And you're saying, "Preacher, you sound a lot like Charlie Brown's teacher." Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, if you're not accustomed to reading your word, I really hope that you get into it. You can just go through all the chapters, all the chapter 3s. You know the other 3:16, you had the football game. You know, this one reads like this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So yes, everything from Genesis to Revelation is on the test. The good news, it's open book. Dylan Frazier used to say, the Bible's a lot like a parachute. They work better when they're open. I think there's some truth to that. There's two great kings in the scripture. Last year, I didn't read all the way through the Bible. My wife always does, and I often do, but last year, I didn't. This year, by the end of January, I hadn't opened it to read through it. I've studied it. I preached out of it. In February, I thought, get off your duff and get back into the Word. And I'd read something about reading the Bible like you'd read a novel. I've read it in 90 days. I've read all through it. And then this one was just like, pick it up and read it. And as you get interested, don't stop. I'm in Jude. So from February to now, I've read all the way through. I got Revelation to finish. And in a day or two, it'll maybe tonight, it'll be done. I've learned so much. So many new things. So many different things. I'd really encourage you to get back into it. And to read God's Word, because it is on the test. As I went through the kings, I see two little kings that I just love. Joash is one. You know how old he was? It's an Andy question. When he became, this one's 7. Joash was 7. Our offering boxes in the back are kind of in remembrance of him. If you come prepared to give an offering, you may. If you're a visitor, we just want you to come and listen and see the sweet fellowship. But Joash said, just put a box back there to rebuild the temple. And they had a problem. In a few days, it was overflowing. And he said, just stop. We got too much. I love that concept. Everything belongs to God. He was 7 years old when he started. What a sharp kid. I often say, if you don't understand the scripture, grab a little guy or girl and ask her what they think about that text. They'll probably set us straight. Because they're closer to God. They're purer. They're not so watered down. Then the other king I really like was 8 years old. Josiah. They both must have had good moms, but I wonder about their dads. Because it had to come through the line of Judah. And then, you know, a king usually started out okay. And then he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And then God started looking. You got a brother? You got a cousin? You got an uncle? You got to have some. Oh, you got a kid? How old is he? 7? That's good. You're out. So for Josiah, it's like, you got any relatives? Got an 8-year-old son. The 8-year-old son took over the kingship of Israel. I know a lot of 8-year-olds I would trust that to more so than the leaders of our nation today and last year and the 10 years previous. So they're all included. An 8-year-old with the Spirit of God in him, I would choose any day over many that we've had, maybe all that we've had. This 8-year-old, after his 18th year, found the book. I wish we could find the book today. They thought they were okay. You're okay, I'm okay. We're God's chosen people. Things were going well. When they found the book, not the booklet, not the little sermonette, but the book, they read it, and the king ripped his clothes. The old King James, he rent them. He bared his heart, and they repented. Right that day, they didn't have a 12-step program. They didn't go for years of counseling. That day, they saw how far off they were. They stopped what they were doing. They heard the word of God. They believed in it, and they did what God asked. That's called righteousness. To stop sinning is difficult, but righteousness. I used to think, until this week, I was like, whoa, that's a big word. I don't know if anybody could be that. Righteousness is hearing God's word, believing it so much we repent, and accepting His forgiveness. Then we're right with God. Maybe we don't recognize the words because we've spun them so much. We got a little video. I'm a newsaholic. I watch too much news. I do need to repent of that. This little video is just a little clip, I think, of SpaceX. Any of you watch it 2 weeks ago, you know the end of the story. You can stop that. We don't want to give Elon too much time today. Now, the spin that came about what happened just immediately afterward was a rapid disassembly of parts, an unscheduled rapid disassembly of parts. Anybody got their learning permit? Write that down in case you may bump into something with mom and dad's car. Don't worry, it was simply an unscheduled, rapid displacement of parts. See how that goes with Dad. My daughter tried that on me one day. She might be here today. And she uprooted a tree at the Grand Traverse Resort in a Toyota 4x4. I was only going 15, Dad, in first gear. I'll tone that down second service. How about this one? An altercation resulting in cardiac arrest. God might call that murder, if you're filling in today. How about frequent wandering of the optic nerve? That one might be lust. And how about this one? This is one Mr. Jeff uses. See if this fits up, or if I've sugar-coated it. A good landing. I've had two in my life. A good landing is one you can walk away from. Yes, that is my airplane. Your airplane, we share it together. My second good landing. A great landing, you can use the plane the same day. Some people might just call it a crash. So maybe we've sugar-coated the sin list. And from my heart, I want to share with us many of those list that we saw at the beginning have a physical deficiency tied to them, as long as an emotional deficiency. And many are mental health issues, but they are all sin. I don't want you to quit taking your meds. I believe in them. Some of us need them for certain things. And I don't want you to quit going to counseling. I also think we need support groups. I believe in that. So hear me clearly. Do not quit taking your meds. Do not quit going to counseling. However, recognize all those things that were on the list, including the many more in the book, are sin. When we know the right we ought to do and don't do it, we sin. Mike Babcock a few years ago stood up at the communion table and said, "Good morning, I'm a sinner." If you're not, you're a liar, and you make God out to be a liar. And lying is a sin. I'm a sinner. I fall short of the glory of God. I am a sinner. I have the opportunity every moment to be righteous when I listen to God's word and obey it. But we must also include repentance. The Bible talks about repentance twice as much as it talks about fellowship. Wouldn't you like to have a little fellowship right now? We do good at fellowship. Everything we have is connected to food. And there is a sin about that too. But repentance is where we really put our arm around someone we love and say, you know, I struggle with a lot of things. I still struggle with a lot of things. A couple things I've conquered. Let me share you how I did that. And let me share with you the struggles I still have. Is there anything on your heart that maybe God could help you with? That's love, people. To wish someone just to be happy to be going on their way to hell is not love. That's called hate. And if we're God's people, as much as it might seem just a bit harsh, we'll be a good minister if we point that out to ourselves and to others. So, the title of the message today, Matthew 5:20. Those of you who are reading along in the core book, the 52 core book, when I opened it up, and I rarely do, and as I say, I tried to read the Bible every year. This year, I think I've got it down. But when I opened up the lesson for today, the first words didn't set well with me. So I closed the book, the little booklet. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This righteousness must be pretty hard. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes were self-righteous. The title on the booklet, page 126, I remembered the page number, said deeper morality. I'll tell you, I could give a hoot about deeper morality. Because deeper morality just means that we set up a new set of rules. Anybody see the news about the shoplifters, Dollar General? They acted like they were going to pay and then they just walked out. Anybody see that at all? And I'm the only one who saw that? Yeah. Now, people, let's have a little compassion. I think they were from New York. That's not illegal in New York. A misdemeanor goes all the way up to $1,000 now. I don't think they had $1,000 coming out of Dollar General, so let's not condemn them, okay? If they were from New York, they were probably just misplaced, getting a five-finger discount. Ugh. The next page, 127, does say deeper righteousness, which I was thankful to see that. But morality is I'm a good person, you're a good person. If you don't like the rules, if you're offended by the rules, you change the rules. We vote in new laws, and now we're good, moral people. In the booklet, too, it talks about Samson. I thought, my goodness, you want me to talk about Samson as a role model? Now, God did use him as a judge for 20 years. And weekly, if you read the prayer list here, someone weekly asks us to pray for our leaders. How many of us do with a good heart? I'm so thankful for that because it reminds me God has asked us. Look at all the 13s, obey your authorities. Just look at some scriptures that have 13 tied to them in Hebrews and in 1 Peter. God asks us to do that. The leaders are set up by God. Well, why don't we agree with them? Well, maybe God's punishing us. Look at all those kings. Every one was set up by God. Now, some didn't last very long. What's morality? You get to fill that in. You can have your own rules on morality, but godly righteousness, you cannot have your own rules. Only God can set that up. Just because it's legal and moral doesn't make it righteous in God's eyes. Abel was righteous because he believed God and obeyed him, as did Noah and Abraham. What about us? When we hear God's word, do we believe it and obey it? If we turn to Romans, the 3rd chapter, and the 10th verse. And flipping those pages, I used to hear that God likes to hear them. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. We seek a lot of things. Some of us were up late last night trying to see how the basketball game ended up. Finally, I gave in at halftime. Romans 3:21 to 24. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And in Romans 4, 1 through 8. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter. If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Catch this next part. It'll help you to understand Acts 2:38 and 2:39. Now a man, when he works, he is given wages and are not credited to him as a gift, but an obligation. I talked to Jill today. Any of you people out there still working and paying income tax? Raise your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I try to thank everybody I know who does that. And then like that 27% that you don't see, think of it like it just comes directly to me, my retirement. So I want to thank you for that. Now, when you work after those 40 hours, it's not called fun. And at the end of the weekend, you get that check. They don't say, here's a little gift for you. No, that's wages. You work at sin, and the wages of sin is death. That's biblical. You work at sin, the wages of sin is death. When you repent and you're baptized, you receive the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you receive a gift, you did not work at it. Therefore, repentance and baptism cannot be a gift. Repentance and baptism cannot be a work because you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You catch that? God says you repent and you're baptized, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism, therefore, cannot be a work, nor can repentance, or God's a liar. We have to quit listening to people. We need to start being in the Word of God so we can understand what God's Word says instead of just some myth or a bunch of rules. Abel was righteous. Luke 18, 9 to 14. This will be a very familiar verse to you. It's coming from Jesus, and it's coming from a story about a Pharisee, and then the old scripture might have said a publican. To some who are confident of their own righteousness, see, there is, that's called self-righteousness, and look down on everybody else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like all other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Here's something we could try at home. It's way off base. We could try it here. I've done that before, and it just caused a mess. To actually kneel down and say, Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. No, you don't have to do that right now. But one day, every single person will. Some will just confess Jesus as Lord and they'll go to hell because they've never taken him as a Savior. We set up our church buildings to protest another church building so we don't have little kneelers. There's not a thing wrong with kneeling before God. We're going to move along kind of quickly. Some of my heroes of righteousness in the Old Testament. Joseph, 17-year-old young man. I mean, a whooping young man. 17 years old. He had 10 brothers that didn't think too much of him. His 10 brothers sold him into slavery. Went to Egypt. And I just got to think, as much as he knew, probably his dad gave up on him because his dad didn't come to rescue him, but the brothers had lied and said he was dead. And then some woman of the night came on to him. What did he have to live for? Isn't that what drags us into sin? Well, the wife hollered at me, so therefore I don't feel good. So I'm going to go do whatever I want to do to make me feel good. Mom and dad hollered at me. I want to do something to make me feel good. Instead of making me holy. He refused her. At 17. I think of myself at 17. Whew, there's a righteous young man. Can you admit it at least? Joseph. He's a man after God's own. How about Uriah? Talk about David. What about Uriah? He's out fighting the battle. The king. The moral king seduces his wife, impregnates her, and he comes and sleeps at the king's step. There's a righteous man. Andy would ask right now, where's the King of Kings comes from? What tribe? Judah. He's got to come from Judah. Let's talk about Judah. Judah was a very moral leader. You know where this is going to go. So Judah's wife was absent from the picture. He has a son who would be in the line of Jesus Christ. He could probably be in the line if he heired a son. Judah had a daughter-in-law, Tamar. He gave this woman to be married to his son. The son died. They had no children. Then he gave this woman to another one of his sons. The son died and they had no children. Now, I think some of the Ten Commandments, or one of those on the screen, said, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? I think that was on there. Well, anyways, he had a third son. He didn't give that son to the daughter-in-law. Jesus was to come through Judah. How's this going to happen? So anyways, this moral Judah, walking down the street one day, and he was feeling lonely and he wanted to be happy. That's my opinion. So he found this lady who he didn't recognize, and he got happy with her because he wanted to be happy. Well, 3 months later, unbeknownst to him, his daughter-in-law had the bump. Oh, he was a self-righteous man. They came and told him, your daughter-in-law's got the bump. I think she committed adultery. He started looking for the gravel pile. He was going to stone her because he was self-righteous. Well, he found a bunch of stones and got a bunch of witnesses, brung her in, and she says, indeed, I've got the bump. This is an easy one. We don't need any other witnesses. We're going to stone you. She said, well, perhaps you'd like to know the other party. Maybe you'll recognize the rod and the staff. I think the scripture also says, do not have relationships with your daughter-in-law. And Judah at least repented and said, she's more righteous than I. We're all sinners, including Judah. When are we going to admit to it? I promised some people in the back this would be a short one. I've got another good hour. I think you got the point. So I'm going to give you some take home. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 18 talks about children sin and who will sin, and the father sins and the child doesn't inherit it. Ezekiel 13 talks about the righteous person who then becomes wicked. Will their righteousness save them? And the Bible says no. Then it talks about the wicked person who becomes righteous. Will their wickedness be held against them? The Bible says no. How's that work? Our righteousness is good for about that long until we sin. And then it'll become good again once we repent. Our wickedness lasts about that long until we repent, and then we're made righteous. Acts 17:30 says God wants all men and women to repent. He calls all of us everywhere to repent before Him, recognize that we're sinners, accept His forgiveness. And then what did Jesus say after He healed so many people? I mean, He healed them physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And He said to them, go and sin no more. You deserve a break today. Some of our slogans just grind me. What in the world do I deserve a break for? Maybe Jesus deserves a break. Think He gets tired of all the sin? How about if we just sinned less and say, you know, Jesus deserves a break today. That's a good slogan. How about just do it for Jesus? That's another good slogan. How about just be holy and not worry about being happy? It's another good slogan. I am going to tell you a quick little story because sometimes I think you need application. In that Ezekiel 33 passage, it talks about you thief who stole needs to bring it back. Before I was a Christian, I worked on the towers on Thomas Road. If you go way back into like 1976, Kalkaska was a happy place for some people, but it wasn't a real friendly place. Some people were a little upset with Shell, and some people had to use the wrong gate. I was a wrong gate person. I had to go in the slug gate to work there. And yes, I got to take those towers and take the metal from 66 feet to 106. Screwed them all on with a little screw gun with a cord attached to it. Now, the company I work for was a mean, crusty, old, cursing, swearing, bad company, and I fit right in with them. And they'd work you for 3 months and lay you off for a month and then pick you back up and then lay you off and pick you back up. And you'd always, if you were younger, you'd get the rotten tools. The young guys never got a Milwaukee. We'd always get the Black & Decker, and it was duct taped together, and you had to rewire it every day. I finally got up to the point where I got a Milwaukee working on that job. Got laid off. I didn't put that tool back into the tool crib because I knew I'd get a Black & Decker. Then I moved from Kalkaska back to my hometown in Onaway, and that Milwaukee drill went with me. I never intended to go back to work for them, even if they called me back. I used that drill, and I wasn't a Christian. But every time I used that drill, it bugged me. Because it wasn't mine. You see, if you take something that doesn't belong to you, that's called five-finger discount? No, that's called stealing. It haunted me so much. I went to the post office and got a box. I wrote on that box, Collison Construction Company, Midland, Michigan. I put that Milwaukee drill in that box, sealed it up, paid the postage, and did not put my return address on it. But I did send it back. That's one of my many sins that I have repented of. I used to have very foul language. How do you cure that one, Jeff? You've trained yourself for 27 years. You hit yourself with a hammer and you use the Lord's name in vain. Well, there's three or four scriptures that say coarse jokes and foul talk are not for me. And you keep repeating those to yourself. And then you think about Jesus hanging on the cross. And how much that hurt his father. And you realize, I don't ever have to use those words again. Because I know how much it hurt. And you just stop. Because you repent. It's not a dirty word. What we're doing that puts us in a need of repentance is what's dirty. And people, you and I both, this message is not for you. You and I both need to fall to our knees and ask God to forgive us. And He will. But then we need to go and sin no more. We need to take on His righteousness. We've spent enough time living in sin. How can we live in it any longer? That's going to wrap it up for the short version if you'd like to stay for the longer. So I had an opportunity to talk to a guy. This is the closing part. The band can come up. They always, it's hard to track me. Had an hour-long conversation buying windows in Grand Rapids about God. And it kind of boiled down to one of those discussions. Some of you have been involved in them. God's all powerful, right? Is God so big He can make a stone He can't move? At that point, I say, you know, you're just an idiot. You know, if you don't believe in God, I'm sorry, that might have been harsh. But if you did, why do you argue about somebody you don't believe exists? Because he told me about the fallacy of Jesus. And if you don't believe in heaven and hell, Jesus and Satan, why do you spend so much time arguing, blaming him? You blame him about the weather, you don't believe in him. Who's the crazy person? But I got the answer to that one. I have to call Dan because he and I have talked about it where people have asked us that. If God's so powerful, can He make a stone so big He won't move it? Yes, He has. You ever heard of your heart being called a heart of stone? He made that heart. We're the ones who made it stone. He won't move it. But we can when we repent. Now, we're not going to go through a whole lot of extra chit-chat and that. We're going to sing. If you need to repent, right in your seat. If you need prayers, come on over here. If you'd like to get all your sins forgiven, let's go into the water. If you've never done that before, today's the day. Don't harden your heart. You may not have tomorrow. If you're ready to repent of your sins, come and be baptized. Sin no more. At least we should be sin blessing. Yeah. And accept Jesus' righteousness. It's just this. Hear His word, believe in it, repent of our sins, accept His gift. There's no work involved. God bless you.